This is a really special evening. There's been a lot of work gone in to prepare for everything that's going on this evening. A lot of work. We tasted some of that earlier. But if you were to look at just all of the human preparations, you wouldn't know half of what's gone on to bring us to this night, right? Well, it's my intention tonight to preach from Acts 16 and 19 to show from the establishment of the church in Ephesus God's sovereignty in the planting of churches. And having seen that, to urge you to plan and to plant with boldness, trusting in God's leading. I'm going to start by reading in Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. This is God's word. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia to help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And now over to chapter 18. I'm going to start in verse 24 of 18 and read through chapter 19, verse 10. 18:24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jew and Greek. If you were to look at the human preparations for tonight, there are many. We heard a narration of the steps that have led to the establishment of the mission church here in Dallas. And we've noted some of the preparations just for tonight. But that is really only half the story. God has been at work. God has been on the move. God is sovereignly at work in the planting of churches. As we look at that in this account of what happened in Ephesus, I want you to really concentrate on the sovereignty of God in planting churches, all to encourage you to trust in that, and therefore to plan and to plant, trusting in that sovereign God as you go about your work. I'm going to begin by noting, first of all, a closed door and an open door. And then go and look at a happy and holy coincidence, as I'll call it. And finally, to see the sign of God's presence in this sovereign work of planting. To start off then, a closed door and an open door. I said I'm going to focus on Ephesus and how God led to the planting of a church in Ephesus. But before Paul came to Ephesus, he was denied entrance there by the Holy Spirit. He had set out by the call of God as a missionary of the gospel, understanding that the Lord had called him to be an apostle among the Gentiles. And understanding that call, he determined that he would go where Gentiles were. And he laid out plans to the best of his knowledge as to where he would go to do that. It's a fascinating study to see some of the choices that he made. But within those choices and within those plans, sometimes God overruled. And this is one of those circumstances. Paul determined that he wanted to go into Asia. That's where it's modern-day Turkey. That's where Ephesus is. And he had determined to go there. But Luke records that the Holy Spirit forbade him to enter Asia. We don't know exactly how that was, but it was very clear to Paul that there was a closed door for him to go into Asia. It wasn't forever. I went ahead and read, and we know that that God opened the door later. We know that because it's demonstrated in chapter 19, that he did go into Ephesus. And we know that there was a church established there. In fact, that whole region contains the seven churches that the book of Revelation is written to. So God did eventually open the door to that region and to the gospel there. But for the time being, he sovereignly closed the door and at the same time opened a door for Paul to go into Macedonia. And Luke does record how that call came to him. A vision in the night of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." Do you know what Paul and his fellow missionaries concluded by that? They didn't hang their heads and say, "Oh, God, why did you ruin our plans? Our tickets have been bought. We have hotels booked. We knew exactly where we were going. And all of those plans are up in smoke." That's not what Paul did, is it? It says that they immediately made all of the arrangements necessary to cross the Aegean Sea, to go into Macedonia, and to preach the gospel there. Having concluded what? That God had called them to preach the gospel there. God redirected them. And having been redirected, they formed their heart's desires around God's leading. That's very instructive. As you think about the sovereignty of God in planting churches, it's instructive for you to understand that there are lots of ups and downs in the work of planting a church, let alone having an established church. There are lots of ins and outs and opportunities that have already presented themselves to you and will continue to happen. And sometimes you will think, "We are heading in this direction, and the Lord will redirect your steps." And it's important for you to recognize that God is sovereign and to form your hearts around that leading of the Lord. Paul did lay plans, and had good reason to lay those plans. And we as a presbytery and you as a congregation have made plans and we're or acting on those plans, but we're doing so resting in the sovereignty of God to lead us, to direct our steps. We're forming our hearts around that, around the closed door sometimes and the open doors that are given. So fast forward a little now with me to what I've called a happy and holy coincidence. And here's where that other half of the story comes in. I kind of smile when I read the first verse of chapter 19 because I imagine Luke writing this and looking back on what God had done. And he says something really enjoyable. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding disciples. Luke is doing something more than just telling when this happened. He's telling almost with a smile about God's providence and how he has been on the move beforehand. Today we might say it just happened by chance that Paul was in Asia and he came upon some disciples. But notice where those disciples came from and what God had been doing beforehand. First of all, Luke mentions Apollos. Now there's a story in and of itself. Apollos was an eloquent man, mighty in scriptures, a Jew that came from Alexandria. That's in Egypt. But somehow, it just happened that Apollos heard the message of John the Baptist. He heard that the Messiah was coming. We don't know exactly how that happened. It could be that Apollos had gone up to Jerusalem, as was the practice of the Jews, to go there to celebrate the feast. It could be that he was there and heard John the Baptist, but then went home to Egypt, and then up into Asia. And he was convinced by God's working of the Holy Spirit, by the message of John the Baptist, that the Messiah was coming. The forerunner had come and announced him, and yet he had not met Jesus yet. And so in God's providence, Apollos, a man eloquent and mighty in the scriptures, came and he taught convincingly the word of God as he knew it. And the Lord used that to stir up some disciples in Ephesus so that they believed that message of John the Baptist, even though this is hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away from John the Baptist. And it just happened that the seeds had been sown so that Paul came into Ephesus and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Say what? go back just a little bit. What Holy Spirit? We've heard that the Messiah is coming, that he would come as a winnowing fire, and that he would bring the kingdom of God. We have believed that. Paul says, that's Jesus. And Jesus has come. And in fact, that very thing happened with Apollos. Apollos was taken aside by Priscilla and Aquila, a Christian couple, husband and wife, who took Apollos aside and told him the message of Jesus Christ. As it said, they told him the things of the Lord, or the way of God more accurately. They told him about Jesus. And that's what Paul does now in Ephesus. He comes and he says that message of John the Baptist, it's pointing to Jesus. Now, Paulus hadn't heard of him yet, but I declare to you today that his message was pointing to Jesus. That's a happy and holy coincidence. But not a coincidence at all, was it? It was God's work all along to plant the seeds of the message of the coming Messiah through that message of Jesus Christ preached by Apollos in Ephesus. It was his plan to bring Priscilla and Aquila to bring that message to Apollos, and then to have Paul come now with the open door of the gospel into Asia and to proclaim Jesus Christ has come as that promised Messiah. Paul had the joy of reaping where others had sown. This will be helpful for you as you share the gospel with others. There will be times where God uses you to reap where others have sown. That's a joyful thing for you to come where others have told of Jesus Christ and the fruit is just ready to be picked. And you come and tell them, if you repent and trust in Jesus, he will take away your guilt and your shame and your burdens, and you will have the gift of everlasting life. And they say, oh, yes, I want that. There will be other times where you scatter the seeds, where you tell someone of their need to repent, to tell them that the guilt that they're feeling is real, and that there's a reason for that. That's because they need to know Jesus. And then they move away from your fellowship and you never see them again. And you long for them and you pray for them, but you then entrust them to the sovereign hand of God, praying that the Lord would lead them to that happy and holy coincidence of coming into the family of Jesus Christ through the ministry of somebody else, through the message of another Christian couple that would reap where you have sown. There are a variety of those happy and holy experiences that are all along that spectrum, from planting to reaping, that are all in God's hands. It's the sovereign work of God. We usually apply that to the saving work, but expand your vision here a little bit so that you see all of the gospel ministry as being in the sovereign hands of Jesus Christ. Then in demonstration of his sovereign work, God poured out his Spirit on the church in Ephesus. They said they hadn't heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And when told of Jesus Christ, and when they confessed their faith in him, when they received the baptism of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they received that the Holy Spirit. God was at work and on the move in a much bigger way than they could ever imagine. They didn't know half of the story. We get a glimpse of it just by the book of Acts. You can step back just a little bit and you can think back to Acts chapter 1 where the risen Jesus Christ gave marching orders to the church. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And then the book of Acts traces the spread of the gospel into those different regions. And the Lord makes very sure to mark his work with his presence, to make sure that everyone knew that the New Testament church is marked by his Spirit. And the Samaritans, those that had corrupted the worship of God, but who now confess Jesus are full participants of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Gentiles, those who are on the other side of the wall, are now full inheritors of the kingdom of God. There is no more dividing wall. They are one in Jesus Christ. And God marks that with His Holy Spirit. In this case, there are miraculous signs to confirm that. I don't intend to go into the gift of tongues and prophecy this evening. My purpose is for you to see the reality of the presence of God poured out on this church, to mark it as a work of Christ Himself. In Ephesus, there were both Jews and Gentiles, and they were both brought in to this new fledgling church, marked by His presence. In the coming months, and in the coming years, and I pray in the coming generations, this congregation must rest on the sovereignty of God to establish churches. You are marked by God Himself, by His Holy Spirit, as belonging to Him. To draw this all together, let me identify four very practical ways that you can put this into practice. First of all, just like Paul in the church in Ephesus, I urge you to trust in God who is sovereign in salvation. Trust Him as you share the gospel with those around you. He's the one that opens some's hearts and closes others. So boldly and joyfully scatter that seed, asking God to grant increase. Secondly, based on that trust, I urge you to be active and intentional in the gospel. Sometimes people get an idea that since we believe in a sovereign God, then it relieves us of responsibility to plan and to do. That's a mischaracterization, a gross mischaracterization of the sovereignty of God. That's a fatalistic idea, which is not consistent with the Reformed biblical view of a God who is sovereign. I demonstrated that from Paul. He understood his calling, and he acted on that calling. He planned, he prepared, he was about his work, but resting in God to direct his steps. That's what Proverbs says, isn't it? That a man plans, but God directs. And so I urge you to be active and intentional with the gospel. God's sovereignty doesn't rule out that planning and that diligence. Instead, it should give you courage and boldness to be about that work, trusting that God has given it to you. Thirdly, be aware that your timing isn't always God's timing. Yes, sometimes God does close some doors, ones that we long for them to be open. And sometimes God opens doors unexpectedly. In this instance, we believe that the Lord has opened a door for this fellowship here. We conclude, as Paul and his fellow missionaries did, we conclude that God would have us to preach the gospel here, to share that message in this greater metropolitan area. And finally, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray that God would grant conversions. Pray that God would establish His church. pray that the Lord would establish many churches. Pray boldly. Pray specifically. Pray for people by name that they would come to know Jesus. Why? Well, because God is sovereign in planting churches. So plan and plant and spread the seed of the gospel, trusting in your sovereign Lord. Amen.